Hello, welcome to a new episode of Rants with Danny Shee. As of today, as of right now, it's Friday, February 26th. This week, what I have for you is an interview with Clive Hsu, who's been on the show before. He is a CTBA interpreter and also was a broadcaster with 11 Sports in the 2020 season for the CPBL. He came on the show last year in November to talk about the Weichuan Dragons and a little bit of previewing a little bit of the Taiwan series. This week he came on. We had an interview yesterday to preview the Weichuan Dragons season and the Fubon Guardians as well. So it was a really fun interview to do with Clive, and one thing I tried this week is to do a live interview on Clubhouse as well. So I was doing both recording and live on Clubhouse. So you might hear a little bit of an echo at first, because this is a new thing that we were trying, but it got a lot better, I think about a quarter in. So the content is still very fun, and if you have Clubhouse, make sure to stay alert of the CPBL English content in the future. I think this will be something that will continue to do in the future, especially when I have interviews that we'll do them live on Clubhouse, and at the end we'll open up to Q&As or stuff like that if you're interested in raising your hand and stuff like that. So make sure if you have Clubhouse to look out for that. If you don't, then send me a message or something like that on Twitter, that I can send you an invite to check it out. So in the beginning there will be a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I think a quarter way in the sound will be a lot better. And again, it was a very, very fun interview. Without further ado, here it is. So joining me on Zoom, and we're also doing a simultaneous Clubhouse live as well, is Clive Hsu, who's been on the podcast before, he's a CTBA interpreter. He's done English broadcasting, commentating in the 2020 season for the CPBL and at 11 Sports. Last season, I think you came on and recapped the Weichuan Dragons and did a little bit of a Taiwan series preview as well.
That's correct.
Yeah. So we're going to continue with that topic a little bit, because today we'll be previewing the CPBL season. This is part one of the preview. It's going to be a three-part project. And today we'll be going over the Weichuan Dragons and the Fubon Guardians. The Fubon Guardians are drafting first, so I don't know, we're doing them first. And Weichuan Dragons come, the new team in 2021, who won the Future Series last year. So let's jump right into it. Let's start with the Weichuan Dragons. Like I said earlier, that they played in the Future Series in 2020, and they will be re-entering the CPBL in 2021. They had a 52 win, 31 loss, and 2 tie record in the Future Series, good enough to advance to the finals of the Future Series and winning the Future Series against the Brothers. So because they're a new team, they're allowed to carry one more foreign player into the season than the other four teams. So right now they signed 6 players. I believe they're allowed to register 5 of them. 4 of them are allowed to be on the first team simultaneously. But one of them, like one of the four, has to be either a fielder or a pitcher. So like they can't have 4 pitchers in the first team at the first at once. It has to be like 3 pitchers to 1 fielder or reverse or stuff like that. So the foreign players that they've signed, reported by the Taiwanese media, is Drew Agnan, Jake Briam, Brian Woodall, Junichi Tozawa. I put Brian Woodall twice. So I guess, I don't know where, how, Rose where up, I messed up.
Rose up. Rosel
And
Herrera.
yeah, Rosel Herrera, and I guess there's one more, but I missed it. I wrote down Brian Woodall twice. But yeah, so that's five.
They actually just have five.
Yeah, five. Yeah,
Shinichi
that's
Tozawa, Jake Brigham, Drew Gagnon, Brian Woodall, and Rosel Herrera. Yeah.
right. So that's five players. Rosel Herrera is a fielder,
Yeah. Utility guy.
and Drew Agnew is, and the other four are pitchers. Some of the key players, in my opinion, that you need to take a look at, viewers out there, Liu Jihong, who's the RBI leader in last year's Future Series, Wang Weizhong, who's number one pick in the 2020 draft, former at Oakland A's, Brewers, and the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and pitched in the KBO for the NC Dinos as well. And also Wu Dongrong, who came over to the Dragons through the expansion draft of 2020. He was the best second base, the best 10-man award winner as a second baseman last year with the Brothers. Was drafted by the Dragons in the expansion draft. So to me, these are the key players that will contribute and will be important for the Dragons in 2021. That being said, so that's a little brief introduction of the team into the 2021 season. Clive, the first question I want to ask is, what is your one pro and one con of the team? So one good thing and one bad thing that needs the team needs to take a team needs to be aware of going into the 2021 season. Let's start with the pro.
The pro, obviously, I think for them will be the pitching staff, because essentially with Wang Weizhong, you have he's an additional import. He's equivalent to an import, if not better. So the pitching staff, whether if you look at experience, for example, Jake Brigham, he's pitched the last four seasons in Korea, compiled 43 wins, 3.7 ERA, 500 over 500 strikeouts, and almost in over 600 innings pitched. He's 33 years old, which is still, older, but that speaks to his experience. I think he's gonna fit in seamlessly, I feel like. So the pitching staff, him, you got Wang Weizhong, Drew Gagnon. I'm not as sold on him. He's also had experience in the KBO as well, although not as just from a pure numbers perspective, not as decorated as Jake is. But I think so. He'll be the third starter behind Wang Weizhong. And then at the back end of the bullpen, their import, Chunichi Tozawa, 35-year-old. He's a journeyman. Was part of that 2013 Boston Red Sox World Series championship team. So he obviously has all of the experience. He has the stuff, even though he's 35 years old. Although I feel like it has deteriorated just because of age. Last year, he pitched in an independent league in Japan. So no Japanese teams, the MPB teams, wanted to sign him. Whether that's because of how he departed from Japan, if that's kind of payback, because he departed not on the best of terms from Japan and went to the MLB. I don't know if that was punishment for that, or if really his stuff just couldn't play in the MPB anymore. I think his experience will be extremely valuable. And a valuable addition for them at the back end of that bullpen. So I think their pitching actually, I think will be fine. The other pro I think for them is their coaching staff. They have a championship manager at the helm, Ye Junzhang. They have former players, Huang Junlong. They have Zhang Kaisan, one of the most decorated hitters in CPBL history. So I feel like they have the right pieces leading them. And if the saying goes that pitching wins games, over hitting, then they are setting themselves up to be pretty successful with a solid pitching staff that is experienced, and an experienced and solid coaching staff that has kind of been there and done that's guiding them.
Yeah, I agree. I think in terms of their pitching has to be one of the strong suits, especially again, Wang Weizhong leading the pack. And in the CPBL, domestic pitchers are so important, are so valuable. Because you only, you know, the pitching depth in Taiwan in general isn't that deep, and a lot of the greater, better pitchers, when they come out of high school, they go abroad. So CPBL, domestic pitchers have been more shaky than foreign pitching. Is one of the reasons why Lomigo has been so dominant. You know, Wang Yicheng, what is one of their more consistent domestic pitchers that was. That's able to pitch one of the first games in the series, and it always seems like that they have a really good domestic pitcher. And with the Dragons drafting Wang Weizhong, who's probably the most decorative domestic pitcher coming back, and I want to add so far because there was news
He's
last
about to
night coming
change,
out.
you
Yeah,
know.
there was new last news last night coming out, but. With Wang Weizhong coming back, leading that rotation, and let's not forget the you know their bullpen is really good too. Liao Renlei has been pitching in the in Japan. Luo Jiaren has been in the major leagues, even though he's a little bit broken when he came back. But it seems like the Dragons are trying to fix him. And Xu Ruoxin has good velocity at the back end of that bullpen, along with Tozawa, who has a lot of experience and also pitched yesterday against the Brothers. I think the pitching staff is actually very strong. For the Dragons, especially with the new ball too, like it's not supposed to fly as far as before. So the def the, you know the defensive side of the ball, the Dragons are pretty solid. But conversely, let's jump to the con. I think we agree because based on how we built our built off the strong suit of the team and with how we talked about the stronger part of the team, the hitting is. I think one of the things that we need to worry about, or the coaching staff really needs to worry about, for the Dragons.
I mean, for the con is obviously it's the hitting, but I lump that a kind of under just the inexperience that the team will have as a whole playing an entire season at the major league level. Yes, they have Liu Jihong, who had the most RBIs. They also have Huang Bohao, who led the minors in home runs. You know, they have the stolen base leader. They have all these guys that were individual leaders, but it was at the minor league level. So doesn't matter how good you are, very, very rarely does a person make the jump from that to the highest level seamlessly and continue that success. So there are sure to be some growing pains. And for me, it's not necessarily the ability, the physical aspects, because no question these guys can hit. But it's the mental side. When you hit that slump of I haven't collected a hit or an RBI, I haven't gotten on base in a week. You know, how are you going to adjust to that? And how are you going to handle the mental side of the game and weather that storm, shorten that slump, and to kind of get back on track? Because 120 games, I mean, they played 85, 86 games in the minors. So that's another third of their schedule, an additional number of games that they have to play through. And you almost just have to expect, you know, a rough go, a rough first half for the hitters. So balancing that, they have a foreign, his name escapes me. They do have a foreign hitting coach, I think, that's also in there. So I think that will help. That will help weather the storm a little bit. But it's just a matter of these young players. It's just a natural process of them growing. In addition to the hitting, I am a little skeptical of their signing of Rozel Herrera. I understand their reasoning in terms of wanting a utility guy that can kind of plug in holes, play all over the field. But for him, I kind of looked him up, and he doesn't have as much international experience, I feel like, as a pitcher would or as somebody else would. And I think that's going to play a factor, because if this is his first experience playing abroad, when that heat comes on, and you know the team's not doing well and he's not doing well, because he's not a high, his batting average is in the low, you know, the 200s. His career batting is 225. You know, he's not a heavy hit. He's not a guy that's going to hit the ball out of the park. And his on-base percentage isn't that high either. And so I'm just kind of confused as to why. I was a little confused as that signing, because for me, I would go after a guy that can, you know, could put some thump in the middle of that order and hit the ball out of the park, so that when those young guys are kind of struggling, you know, you have a veteran guy in there that can carry the load a little bit. So I don't think it's going to work out too well for Rozel Herrera. He's not necessarily super fast either. He doesn't steal bases. There's been talk about putting him up top of the lineup. With him and Udongrong, a player to watch that you mentioned earlier, it'll be really important to see how those two do. And you know, if things don't work out well in the beginning, how quickly does Ye Junzhang make a change and tinker with stuff? Because for young guys, you want to have stability also. They want to know, okay, every day I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be plugged into this lineup. I'm going to have this spot. And that's all of that's just going to be a touch and go, touch and feel, daily adjustment. So the mental side of me, I think, just the inexperience, I feel like is one con. Another one I put down, it's not as major, but I think it will have an impact is their schedule and their home field. They're playing 30 some game, 31 games, I think, in Tianmu on artificial turf on the grass, on the artificial grass, which plays differently. So you have a new ball you're adjusting to. You're the first year in the majors. You're playing in five or six different home stadiums littered throughout most of them, half of them, your home games at artificial turf. And then you're going to go switch to the other teams when you're away. It's grass, it's natural grass and dirt. I think it's just going to take a physical toll on them switching so much. You know, Hsinchu County Stadium, where their home games will be played, is under construction, ready, hopefully ready by the 2022 season. But I feel like the schedule and how much they have to travel, the different turfs constantly switching back and forth, is going to exasperate the inexperience and the difficulties in hitting and possibly the fielding. You know, but everybody else has to play there too. You still have to play the games. But all these put together, I think, is a significant obstacle that they'll have to deal with.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think especially the hitting part, that will be it will be really interesting to see how players like Udongrong and Zheng Taorong, how they lead the team. And you know, Udongrong is a great hitter. He's a good hitter, and you know, that's why he won the Best 10 award last year. But yesterday, Ye Junzhang put him at number 5 in the lineup. And I understand, like, obviously in spring training you're playing around with pieces, but Udongrong's, it feel like to me that, you know, Rosa, again, like you said, Rosa Herrera is not one of those middle of the lineup guys. And other, you know, who else do you put at number 5? And it seemed like Udongrong, compared to the players on that team, is probably a good choice for the number 5 spot. But you've compared that to the entire league, he's not a number 5 hitter. Like, you put him at number 2, you put him at number 6, but to put him in the middle of the lineup, that's indicative of how the lineup could very much struggle in the CPBL, and with the new ball, again, like you said, with a turf that they have to adjust to, you know, once every 2 or 3 weeks, the hitting will be very, very hard to watch, in my opinion, I think. Especially when you look at how they hit in spring training these couple of days.
They got no
It's
hit.
hard. And yeah, they got no hit in the first game, in their first spring training
Exactly.
game. Yesterday they got no hit until like the sixth inning. They had two hits the entire game. And yesterday they were playing the future series squad of the brothers. They weren't even playing the first team. So
Exactly.
it's I mean it's going to be, the hitting will be tough to watch. But like we said, the pitching side, of the Dragons will be very good. It's going to be a little bit of a complimentary baseball, if I can steal a term from football. You know, it's a lot of defense on the Dragons.
But what you also have to think about, sorry, what you also have to think about is if the offense struggles long term, that will inadvertently have an effect on the pitching staff as well, because the pitching staff will feel like, oh, I can't give up any runs. Or I've pitched, you know, I have a qual, I went 7 innings, I gave up 3 runs, but we scored 2. You know, and that's a loss on my record. And so, like, when does that frustration boil over and start to add up? And how long are they be able to, you know, stay patient? Because for the import guys, you know, they're whether they stay or not is tied directly to how well they're pitched, how well they pitch, and their numbers. You know, so if they're looking over their shoulder constantly and feeling like, oh man, I can't give up anyone, it's going to have an effect on the whole team, which is why, again, I feel like Rozell Herrera is not going to last very long. He's not even in games yet. Like, he's not, you know, he's not swinging yet. We haven't seen him play yet. I think eventually at some point, they're going to make a change and try and bring in a guy that can hit the long ball a little bit.
Yeah, and the overall depth on the Dragons will be something to watch. Yeah, we're already talking about the lineup with the first team, how that's not really good. But you know, if there's a player that you know it, during a 120 game season, there will be wears and tears. And you know, how do the players in the future series squad come up and replace some of the first team players? That will be interesting to see as well. So over a 120 game season. How many games do you see the Dragons win? It's tough, but I'm putting you on the spot here. How many wins do you see them winning? How many games do you see them winning? And do you think there is a possibility that they hint at the playoffs?
I do not, simply put, I do not see them making the playoffs. And I think they're going to hover around the 45 to the 50 game win total. The first half of the season, I think, will be ugly. The second half, I think, will be better. Because even if you do have a Wong Wei Zhong, he's only pitching once a week. So it's gonna be tough. There'll just be a lot of pressure. I think there'll be in a lot of tight, close ball games. There will be some ugly ones, but I see them around 50, 45 to 50 win total, and I don't see them making the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm in the same realm. I have them at 43 wins, so that's 43 and 77. I don't see them winning any extra innings games because of their lack of depth. So I didn't even bother putting a tie up there. So it's 43 and 77. I think though they have a very, very outside chance of winning because remember last year over the 120 game season, the Lions had a under 500 record and they played the Taiwan series. And they won. So like I put them at like I'll say like 20% chance of making the playoffs. Because you know crazy stuff can happen. The brothers could dominate, and so the third best team makes the playoffs, and you know, you never know. So
Exactly.
yeah, a 20% chance for the Dragons. Before we move on to the Guardians, do you want to add anything on the Dragons? Do you think that we missed anything that you know we shouldn't have?
I think another thing that going for the Dragons is they have the fan base. Even though they're a new team, since I think they last played in the 1999, they do have a pretty strong fan base. I don't think they'll have any problems bringing that. Those people into the stadium. So they do have that going for them, which I think is good as well.
Yeah, and apparently they were selling like 99 season tickets and it sold out in like 90 minutes or something. Yeah, something like it went out really fast and they had to, I don't know if they added like they had to emergency add well, that's not a real phrase, but they had to add more season tickets, slots, like in a very immediate way. And it looked like they have a pretty strong fan base, especially with a guy with the looks of Wong Weizhong. I mean, like even like when he was pitching in Korea, he was making headlines in Korea with his face. So yeah, he's gonna get the team's gonna get quite a lot of fans, and especially they're the only team playing in Taipei. Not that Tianmu is a really accessible ballpark. They're not an accessible ballpark in Taipei, but they will still be in Taipei. So there should be a good amount of fans attending games over there.
And the league will be sure to take advantage of, like, oh, the Jingdian Dazan between the Dragons and the Brothers and the Dragons and the Lions, so it's fresh, it's a new team, so it'll be fun at the beginning, but after that kind of wears off, and they're like 6-20,
Right,
that's when they'll really be tested.
I think one last thing I wanted to add is that I know Drew Agnew has definitely pitched in the KBL. Brian Woodall pitched in the CPBL. Tozawa, he's not pitched in Asia professionally besides the independent ball, like you mentioned. But their foreign pitchers have Asian experience. And normally that turns out to be a really good ingredient for to have a successful career or a successful season in Taiwan. So
I agree.
that's also one pro that the Dragons have in their pocket. Let's move on to the Guardians, who are playing in Shin庄, not that far away from Tianmu Baseball Stadium that the Dragons will be playing. The Guardians last year, they competed in the CPBL, had a 54 win, 65 losses and one tie season in over the 120 game schedule. In the second half, though, there were three games above 500. And you might think, if you weren't watching the season last year, you might think that's a little bit better than mediocre, but they were one win away from the Taiwan series. So, I mean, they were really close. That game, if they had lost, then they'd draft first this year. If they had won, then they'd go to the finals. So I think is one of the reasons why the CPBL is a lot of fun to watch in the second half, because, you know, so many things can happen. And that can mess up a season. In terms of the foreign players to the Guardians that signed, they have signed five players plus one that was rejected by the league. And we're not going to go too deep into that, but they re-signed Mike Lowry. Well, the Mike Lowry and Sosa's contract was 2 years, so they're going to stay for the 2021 season. They re-signed Manny Banuelos, who was one of the new foreign players that they signed in the middle of the season last year. They also went out and signed JC Ramirez. So that those are the four players that they're allowed to register. And then apparently with Henry Sosa's recommendation, they went out to sign Yomar Concepcion with a developmental contract. I think it is expected that he will stay with the farm team a lot more, probably even the entire season. But he's one of those, it's one of those, one of the new things that the Guardians are trying in terms of signing a young farm pitcher and trying to develop him with their farm team rather than signing a 26, 27-year-old farm pitching that could be immediate help. In terms of the key players that the Guardians have, I jot some of them down. I think Li Zhongxian will be very, very important for this team. And Lin Zheshun, who made that incredible, internationally viral famous catch last year. He's going to be important as well. And just the domestic pitching part, again, like I said earlier, that's so important. And the Guardians actually have one of the better, if not the best, 1-2 domestic pitchers in the league with Chen Shipeng and Jiang Guohao. Now, they had their ups and downs last year, but if you look at the quality of those two pitchers compared to other domestic pitchers from the other teams, I think it's either number one or number two in the league. So those are the key players that I would keep an eye on. Clive, we'll start with one pro and one con again. Let's start with the good again. So the Guardians are pro for the 2021 season.
Yeah, well, if you're going to go with pitching as a pro for the Dragons, how can you not go with pitching as the pro for the Guardians? I mean, Henry Sosa, Mike Lowry, Banuelos, JC Ramirez, they also have Hector Noesi he played the last three seasons in the KBO, and he has 6 years of MLB experience as well. And that right there, those five guys, you know, it would be on a bad major league team, but that is a potential major league baseball pitching staff right there, all on the Guardians. And the news that we alluded to earlier yesterday is that Jiang Shaoqing has signed a practice contract with the Guardians as well. And it's already been announced that the Guardians are going to pay him the highest salary ever in the history of CPBL when they use that number one pick that you mentioned mid-year. So you're adding that mid-season, talk about a shot in the arm, that to the domestic guys, you know, Jiang Guohao and the Chen Shipeng you mentioned already. So, I mean, dang. Yeah. that pitching staff on paper, that's why I say on paper, you know, that's a tremendous, tremendous staff. And at the back end, they still have Chen Hongwen. And in the between, you know, they'll have to figure out how they're going to get to the back end of the bullpen. So, but that's definitely for me the number one pro that positive that they have going for them. Experienced quality pitchers that you know are going to give you a chance, even on their off night, they're going to give you a chance. They're going to give you a chance to win.
Yeah. I agree. Again, I think we just tend to agree on a lot of things, but yeah, Lowry and I was focusing more on Lowry and Sosa, the 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. The you know, Mike Lowry last year was a little bit of a down year, but if you look at his stats, it's still very good, and we consider that his down year. And Henry Sosa dominant in the second half, and then you plus that with the new unhittable baseballs in 2021. You just got to imagine how good that pitching staff is going to be, yeah. Especially those two at the top of their rotation. And like you said, this is almost at least a quad A caliber pitching rotation that we're talking about in the CPBL. And it just looked like the Guardians are throwing money everywhere. You know, it's one of those shifts when like you splash money everywhere, just trying to get the best players possible. Zhang Shaoqing, who less than, just about 24 hours, probably a little bit less than that. The Guardians announced that they have signed him to a developmental deal. Zhang Shaoqing, for those of you who might not be familiar with him, He's a stud. He was at the Detroit Tigers alternate site for the entire 2020 season. He trained with the Tigers for a number of years. One of the first impressions for me that name really stuck out to me, that stuck in my head, was the 2017 World Baseball Classic when he shut down the Netherlands lineup. And that Netherlands lineup was really good. Like, that was a major league caliber lineup that Zhang Shaoqing just shut down in the 2017 WBC. In 2019, he also pitched for the Chinese Taipei in the Premier 12. Also pitched really well against Venezuela. I remember the manager, Kong Yizhong, who's also managing the Guardians, said, when you have a dominant pitcher on the mound for you against an important game like this, which every game counts in those international tournaments, your lineup just gets into a groove easily. And Zhang Shaoqing was that pitcher. He was a pitcher that shut the lineup down and allowed the lineup to find chances to break through the other team's pitcher. And like you said, the Guardians announced that. Well, the agent announced that the Guardians offered him the largest deal in CPBL history. And they were allowed to do that because the Guardians have the number one pick of the 2021 season, of the 2021 draft. So he is now, I think, the most, what's the phrase?
Most anticipated.
Yeah, the most anticipated pitcher is like the worst kept secret in the world. That he's going to be the first pick of the 2021 draft. That pitching rotation, that pitching staff will be very, very good. We just talked about how good the Dragons are. I think the Guardians pitching staff will be a step above their Dragons rotation.
Yeah, and it's scary because Manny Benuelos, we've seen ups and downs for him, but I think he has the potential to be one of the best pitchers in the league, period. Just with the stuff that I've seen for him being left-handed, I don't think he's hit his groove yet in the CP. We haven't seen the best of him yet. And then again, you know, you add mid-season Zhang Shaoqing, who he's just a man's man, you know?
Yeah.
Everything from like his tighter pants that he wears on the uniform. Because I was I was translating for Puerto Rico at the Premier 12, and he pitched against Puerto Rico. And the guys will come back in the dugout and then be like, oh my gosh, can't hit this guy. What the heck was that?
Yeah.
And he throws hard. He has that hard slider, you know, and like there was one pitcher at one end of an inning, he struck him out and he just kind of like tosses his head up in the air, like at their dugout. Like, what you gonna do? And he just like walks off.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a cool dude. You know, I can't wait to see him pitch here.
Yeah, and he adds a lot of flair to his game. He's gonna be if he's healthy, he's gonna be a top of the banner kind of star in the CPBL.
Sure. And only 27.
Yeah, he's only 27. So you gotta wonder after that 3-year, well, not probation, but like that 3-year limit, like you have to play in the CPBL for 3 years until you go abroad. You just kind of wonder if teams outside of Taiwan will still be interested after the 3 years. But the con, though, the not so good part, what do you see that, you know, Hong Yizhong has to worry about for the season?
Well, I have two on this one. My first one is the team chemistry. Ever since they became the Fubon Guardians, on paper, you know, that's when they had Lin Zexuan, that's when they had Gao Guohui. They've always had the pieces on Hu Jinlong back then as well. On paper, they've always had the pieces. You look at this team, you're like, man, they have the most number of players that have played in the U.S. And there's all these good players together, but they really haven't. They won in 2016, I think.
Yes.
Was the last time they won the Rhinos series.
Yes.
Yeah, as a Rhinos. But as a Fubon Guardians, you know, they've always struggled with putting everything kind of together, whether it's the individuals, whether it's the old and young split, which I'll get to in a minute, which is my second con. They just haven't really quite put it together. And Mike Lurie, outstanding, outstanding individual, just a true gentleman, a true class act guy, but, you know, a little bit on the quieter side. He just goes about mm-hmm. his business, extremely competitive when he pitches, but maybe not necessarily as vocal as a team like this would need. And if the local guys that aren't stepping up and providing that role, you know, as we know from last year, Jiang Zixian had his rumors swirling about him off the field with extramarital stuff. Hu Jinlong, he's still not even rostered on the team because the texting stuff that went on there. So the team chemistry there is just it's not gelling.
Yeah.
And so for them to actually perform and do well, I think that the chemistry has to gel, and the team, somebody has to step up and become more of a vocal leader and take charge and lead that team. You know, Lin Yichun, he's 35. Zhang Zhengwei, he's 35. Gao Guohui is 35. Lin Zexuan's 31. And then Jiang Zixian's 31. So they kind of have these old elder statements north of 30.
Yeah.
They got these young guys, Dai Peifeng, Gao Guoling, you mentioned earlier, Li Zhongxian. And even, you know, Yu Shenxu and Gao Xiaoyi, Sun Haowei, those younger guys that have potential, you know, I feel like there's a split where it's kind of the changing of the guard.
Yeah.
So similar to the Dragons, the pitching staff will always be there. But if the old guys break down and they continue not to struggle with this leadership piece and they're not passing it on to the younger guys, and the younger guys aren't growing and they're not developing, it'll just continue to be, you know, we're one game away, just like last season, away from really putting a special team together. Hong Yizhong is a very decorated, you know, CPBL most winningest coach. But from what I've heard, he's very hands-off.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the rally the troops and micromanaging and, you know, get everybody on the same page kind of manager. He lets the hitting coach do his thing. He lets the pitching coach do his thing. And, you know, so I'm not sure that he's the right person either. Great manager, no doubt, but I'm not sure he's the right manager in terms of this team putting all the pieces together.
Yeah, and again, we're gonna agree there once again. I think
you're the same person, Daniel.
Yeah, what's going on? I don't think I've agreed with the panel with the guest on this podcast as much as I have today, but. Yeah, I think Daddy Hong, that's what we call him.
Daddy Hong.
Yes. Manager Hong Yizhong will be, he would be a great coach or a great manager for a young team. I think he knows how to develop them. And I think through the reports, it seems like he's very heavy on discipline. But this Guardians team, as we see last year, there were conflicts and clashes between the new coach and the veteran players. So on paper, the Guardians are always very good. You know, we were just a minute ago saying, you know, on paper, like just look in the pitching side, they're unstoppable, and we haven't even gotten to the hitting side, which is always really good, but just never seem to gel together. That's the one thing to worry about. And yeah, like I said, the age. I mean, look at Jiang Zixian's. He's 32. Lin Yichun is still playing, and he's 35. He's turning 36 this year. Gao Guohui is 35, and these are all starting players that's going to hit in the middle of lineup of the team for the team on opening day. And that's why I mentioned Li Zhongxian as one of my key players, probably the most important player to watch in terms of the development of the team, because he's one of the younger players that you know. Established himself in 2020. He, you know, if you look at, you know, if you guess the starting lineup of the team on opening day, shortstop Lee Zhongxian is probably like you can bet on it. Like you can bet money on that. But everywhere else, probably, you know, even on the catch, even catcher, you know, who's gonna be catching? Is it gonna be Dai Peifeng or Lin Youying? You know, like everywhere else, it's kind of like a toss-up. But shortstop is definitely Lee Zhongxian. And the reason for that is Daddy Hong wants to use younger players. But last year he realized halfway through that they're not ready. So they had to go, he had to go back to the veteran players to help take the charge. And they had a good second half campaign. But can they do that for one more year? You know, they're a year older. You know, we don't know what would have, what will go on between the coach and the veteran players for the 2021 season. Again, on paper, they're always so good, but it just never panned out. And, you know, every single time you see the Guardians management throwing money into to buy good players on paper, but this never happened on the field.
Yeah, you can add to that list also Zhang Jinde, the veteran catcher that they signed midseason last year, who is a huge shot in the arm offensively for them. So I've read reports that he's trying to take care of his knees, make sure they're healthy so he can catch more. So that opens up a DH spot, which he occupied much of the second half of the season for some of the other older veteran players on the Guardians so that they can get occasional day off from being in the field. So he's another, you know, key guy to kind of watch there also.
Yeah. We just have one more topic to go through before the podcast part's about to end. We're also doing this live on Clubhouse, like I said earlier. So if you're on Clubhouse, I know we have a couple of people. If you want to add something or ask something, put your hands up and we'll get to you momentarily. As we go into the final, again, we mentioned the key players, we mentioned the pros and cons for the Fubon Guardians. Again, I'm going to toss you on the spot again, put you on the spot again. How do you see it over the 120 game season? What do you think their record will be?
Yeah, I think they will win between 65 and 70 games.
65 to 70. Is it last year they won? That year they won 54.
Year they were just under 500. Yes. This year I think they'll be north of 500.
Yeah. Do you see them making the playoffs or potentially winning the 2021 season?
I don't think they're going to win, but I do see them making the playoffs. It'll be a pretty tight. This year, I think there will be a lot of parity amongst all five teams. Mm-hmm. I don't think one team like the Monkeys, where they were winning ridiculous, like 80 and 40, like 80 some. I don't think you'll see that again. I think every team will be hovering up and down around that 500 mark, which is why I think the Guardians will be one of the teams in the end to make the playoffs. I do think so.
Yeah, the brothers last year had the best four-year record at 67 and 51 with two ties. I think the Guardians will be a little bit below that because the brothers last year were actually quite dominant. The Guardians, I just don't see them, you know, unless they prove it on the field. We can talk about on the paper stuff all we want, but unless they prove it on the field, I'm not going to put that much faith in it. So I'm going to go somewhere between 62 to 67 games. So let's say 64 wins. That should be at least at the very least the top three and threatening to win, you know, could win one half season and then make it to this talent series or stuff like that. Crazy stuff can happen in CPBL. Yeah. Depending on, you said they're going to make the playoffs, right? Let's assume that because today we're only talking about the Guardians and the Dragons, so we're not going to go too deep into the other three teams. But let's say that the Guardians make the Taiwan series and they either face, because we said earlier the Dragons probably won't make it, so against the Brothers, the Monkeys, and the Lions, one of those three teams, against which team do you see them have the best chance of winning the series? We totally did not plan this. I just kind of like threw it out there. So I'm going to give Clive a little bit of time to collect his thoughts a little bit. Do you have an answer?
I would say probably I'm going to go with the monkeys.
The pitching will be
they can neutralize that heavy offense, and I feel like the monkeys pitching staff also very experienced, but you know they don't have the one glaring weakness in those guys, I think, is the velocity. Mm-hmm. They don't have a guy that just it's all control type pitchers and like 90 to 92. They don't have that one guy like a Henry Sosa that just pumps it in there at 95, which I think will not be able that the Guardians lineup will be able to handle that kind of pitching staff.
Yeah, and who knows what the Monkeys bullpen will look like. You know, they were I don't want to be too mean, but they weren't really, really good last year. So I mean they added one pitcher to the bullpen, Lai Hong Chen. But the Guardians knows them very, very well. Yep. You know. So before we let you go and toss it over to FaceTime, who's gonna win the CBPL MVP this year?
Well, I thought about Li Nanke, I thought about Lin Li, but ultimately I'm gonna go with Wang Weichen.
A lot of contact
because I feel like he's progressed every year. You know, last year he had career high in average at 339. He increased his slugging percentage by 63 points all the way up to 433. He quadrupled his home run total. That's not saying much. He had one.
Yeah.
Last year he had four. And I think he's going to continue in that, even though the ball is different. Just because I think he's going to hit double digit home runs this year, 10 or above. Because last year his doubles, the amount of doubles increased a lot as well, which tells me he's making good contact, line drive hitter. His stolen bases have fallen off each year. There was one year he stole, 2 years ago he stole 44, mm-hmm. then he stole 27. Last year he stole only 17. That kind of goes hand in hand with he's hitting more doubles. He's hitting the ball farther, yeah. slugging percentage, so he's not getting on to first as much. But I think that will return to 20 plus. I think he's going to be really productive at the top of that lineup. He's going to score 100 runs. I'm predicting he's going to get 200 hits, mm-hmm. and he's going to hit 350.
Wow. Yeah, it makes sense.
Way out on a limb. He's gonna keep going. He's the captain of that team now.
Yeah,
he plays good defense. He's hits an important part top of the lineup. I think he's just going to put it all together this year and have an MVP type of season.
Yeah, and it does make sense because of the ball changing to less bouncy. So there theoretically should be less power going on, less power hitting going on. And so contact mm-hmm. will be much more valuable this year. Mm-hmm. And Wang Weichen is a very, 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 very good contact hitter. I think among himself and Chen Jiexian is probably two of the best contact hitters that I saw last year. So, I think and his defense is better than Chen Jiexian. I mean, Chen Jiexian was basically demoted to center field last year.
Exactly.
So I think it's a surprising pick. I was a little surprised at first, but the more you explain it. See, I have three episodes to figure out, so I'm not going to.
Oh, come on. Can't leave me. Oh, who's your pick as of today?
As of today, I think if we see Chen Jiexian as an outfielder this year, and he has one off season work on his outfielding craft, and again contact hitting will be so important this year because Chen Jiexian has a little bit more power. He doesn't have that much home runs last year. I remember his home run in Game 7 was like the fourth home run of the year as well. So, Tainan is a little bit smaller than Intercontinental Stadium, so I feel like Chen Jiexian with a smile, with the
smile's gonna win him the MVP. I gotta get Wong Wei Chen to smile more then.
I think Chen Jiexian is a good pick, but I'm gonna toss this out to all the guests in the next two or three weeks, and then I'll make my mind up later.
All right, you let me know when those Zoom calls happen. I'll sign on, and I'm gonna ask them a hard question.
Last time you came on, and remember that before our guest on Rants with Danny Shi, the podcast, all the guests do this thing called FaceTime, which is I give the guest a floor for as long as they want to talk about one topic. Last time you came on, you talked about how even though foreign players are really important in the CPBL, they're still very much underappreciated because of how much hardship they have to endure, you know, getting used to a new environment, going away from their family, especially in the 2020 season where you had to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic as well. I'm excited to hear what you will have to say about this time. I'm going to toss it over to you.
Okay. I forgot that you do that. Otherwise, I would have given it more thought and thought about something. But like, what comes to mind first is that, you know, last year was a very unique year in terms of having English broadcasts and then really shining a brighter international spotlight on the league. And I think what I'm looking forward to this year is how the league will continue to build off of that. I don't think there will be English broadcasts anymore, but the foundation in terms of social media on Twitter, or Instagram, you know, you doing being the social media guy for CPBL, all of that has given an international platform. And I think it's really important for the league if they want to continue to, amidst COVID, as seasons start, how Taiwan is handling the pandemic as a whole, I think the league needs to figure out how they can really try and take advantage of the situation and continue to build on that momentum for the future, because it's not just the CPBL, just in terms of Taiwan historically, geopolitically, trade-wise, economic-wise, the position that it has, it's very, very unique. Mm-hmm. The league is unique, but that is kind of an extension of the country as a whole. It's a very unique country in terms of China, US, you know, is it a country? Is it not a country? Is it recognized by who, you know? And there's so many things that Taiwan can be lauded for. And it's just, I'm just extremely proud. And I'm sure you are as well in your time that you're here, of being able to live in this country, experience the culture, be a part of it, be a part of this baseball piece. But I just hope that Taiwan is able to, amidst the pandemic, within the CPBL, continue to shine brighter and brighter on the international platform.
Yeah, and I, you know, I felt, you know, when I was taking over the CPBL account last year, you know, it felt a little bit heavier than people, especially, you know, people might think, especially for those in the States, because it kind of felt like it's a window to the world in terms of Taiwan selling itself. So it was a little bit like I had for quite a bit of time, I had a lot of pressure on myself. I put a lot of pressure on myself because, in a way, you're selling your country to the world. And thankfully, for the 2021 season, especially for the first couple of months, the Twitter account will be churning out content from the league. So from the league account, content will be produced and released almost, if not definitely, on a daily basis.
You're gonna be doing that from Texas?
Yes, I'll be doing that from Texas in the first half of the year. Thank you so much. That's it for the podcast recording. Don't have hands up on Clubhouse, so I think that'll pretty much end the podcast and the Clubhouse as well. Thank you so much, Clive, for coming on.
No problem, Daniel. Anytime.
Yeah, and this is Clive Shi. I will put his Twitter handle down there in the description. We'll see you guys next time.
All right, keep in touch.
Thank you.